You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, August 1st, 2016. You're listening to episode 218.
Hey,
the 16-18 thing threw me off there for a second. My name is Rob. There's Jason.
Hey, Gen Con 2016 pre-show special.
Yes, sir. Gen Con is happening in about 3 days.
Always one of our favorite episodes because we're always so full of excitement and energy still.
Right, then, we're not beaten up.
Yeah, because we're recording this a week early, so of course... We actually still have energy. We're not tired from staying up too late to finish games, and we're not beaten up from Gen Con.
Right. Right. Always an exciting time.
So on the way over here, right before we started recording, you were lamenting that you forgot to get beer.
I did.
I think I can make you happy about that, though.
Oh.
See, this weekend we went to Shipshewana, right? Which, for anybody who doesn't know, is in Indiana. It's a big Amish place. They have this huge flea market during the week. And on the weekends, they just have a bunch of shops and stuff.
Everyone knows Amish, huge drinkers.
Huge drinkers. Wait, wait, wait.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't about beer, but instead we went to this store called Yoder's. Like, there's several stores down there called Yoder's. And this was the Yoder's department store.
Basically, every third store in Amish country is called Yoder's because they're all named Yoder.
I guess. Right. I mean, I don't know. So, but I found something there that I thought might interest you.
Hey, look at you.
And that is cheer wine.
Oh, boy. You had it hidden right there, too. I had no idea. Oh, man, you're the best.
So
that's why these coasters are out here too, huh?
Well, the coasters are here because the coasters are always here, but thank you.
Oh, man, yes, cheer line.
So,
oh, that makes me happy.
And to make it more exciting.
You've got more good stuff there?
I have.
Dang, man.
Two more bottles of cheer wine for you.
You got ski!
Two bottles of ski, and I finally found the mythical Kickapoo Joy Juice.
Dang, man.
Those are for you. So
these are all for me?
Yes, they are. I bought a lot of soda.
Okay. Yes. Holy cow. Ski.
I know. I
guess I'm going to Yoder's.
Well, we're going to start going down there actually routinely because the Yoder's meat market there, they have like really good meat and cheese. So we're going to start going down every like few months and buying a bulk of it and bringing it back. So,
well, I realize.
So next time, yeah, I'll figure out what you want and I can get multiple things for you.
And I realize I just kind of squealed like a little girl there.
I knew you'd be excited.
I'm not even a little bit embarrassed about that. I'm thrilled. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
I
saw the ski and I was like, oh, I should get some ski. And then I saw the cheer wine and I was like, oh, Rob's going to lose it.
Oh, man.
So you're a bigger fan of cheer wine than ski, I believe.
They're about equal.
Is it about equal?
See, cheer wine does taste a little bit better, I think, but ski is like my childhood.
Tastes like your childhood. Yeah.
Right.
And Kickapoo Joy Juice, Will and I were looking at it. I haven't tried it yet. We're guessing it's like Mountain Dew.
How is it?
Man, cheer wine is so good.
I was nervous because at first all I could find was diet cheer wine, and I was like, I could get it.
Hey,
but
the diet's okay.
Is it?
Yeah, the diet's fine.
It might be a letdown because some people, like, I know you drink diet soda, I guess, so.
Yeah, because I'm not supposed to drink a lot of high fructose corn syrup, but this stuff is made with real sugar, cane sugar. So.
Yeah, this is real cane sugar. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably better that I don't drink a lot of it anyway.
Right. Well, you've only got six to go through. I gave you two of each, so I figured you might be nice enough to share with your
wife. I'll definitely share with my lovely wife.
Yeah, so we think the Kickapoo Joy Juice is like Mountain Dew based on the coloration.
Yeah. It's a citrus flavored carbonated drink. I guess
so. But Kickapoo Joy Juice is one that, if you guys don't remember, a long time ago when Rob bought and I bought all that soda and had it shipped, that was one we wanted and couldn't find anywhere. It was sold out. So when I saw that, was the first one I saw actually, and I got was super excited.
Yeah.
And then and I bought some cream sodas and stuff for my wife and I because we're big fans of those.
That's great.
So yeah.
Wow, man, this is a big event here. We've also got kind of an elephant in the middle of the table here. And by elephant, I mean a Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon. And it looks like it all opens up. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, feel free to open it up. Yeah,
this is really cool.
Yeah, so this is like 1,400 pieces or some jazz. So it took a long time to put it together.
Yeah.
And not all the characters are in it that
This is from Force Awakens?
Yes, because it comes with Finn, Rey, Old Man Han Solo, and Chewie.
Okay.
Oh, and then it comes with two members of the Kanja Club.
The Kanja Club?
Those are the bad guys. They're the guys from the... from
The ship where the tentacle monsters
sure. So
cool.
So
I knew right away it was Force Awakens because it has rectangular satellite dish on the top.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because the it was circular and they replaced it, right?
Right.
So I saw something. I want to talk about Star Wars for a second here. So I saw something that I thought was interesting. This may be a retcon. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it's somewhat of a retcon, but it was a diagram of the Millennium Falcon as a Corellian pusher vessel.
Corellian pusher vessel.
Right, and so what it showed was that if you do it like this, so there's these prongs on the front of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
They were actually using it as a tugboat.
Oh, really?
So it was moving huge freight things, right?
Uh-huh.
Somebody said it was a retcon, and then somebody else commented that, well, that was actually quite old where it had come from. One of the interesting thoughts of that was that the reason it's so overpowered and so fast is because it's meant to be pushing lots of freight, and instead has been retweaked to increase speed and such. So, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I've always heard it as a, well, I say always, my memory is, it's been a long time since my high school days when I was a super Star Wars nerd. But my recollection is that it was a Corellian YT class freighter is how it was always described.
That would make sense, yeah.
I think that's accurate. The specific might be a little off. But yeah, I always thought of it as a freighter that he acquired and fixed up and souped up.
Right. Because the other interesting thing is, and Steph actually pointed this to my wife, and I showed her the picture. I said, this is really cool, was that the offset cockpit makes sense, because if it's pushing something, the offset cockpit allows you to still see forward.
Sure.
As opposed to...
I'm sure that's totally retcon. I'm sure there's no way that the original designers had all that in mind.
Well, there's no way that George Lucas was smart enough to have that in mind either. But the other thing that was interesting about it was, you know, it gets beat up in The Force Awakens and takes a licking on the ground, which, if it was built to be a tugboat and get bumped into a lot...
It would have to be pretty tough.
I thought that was interesting. So,
yeah, no, that's smart.
Best retcon ever, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. It actually makes more sense than the original.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, but this is a very nice Lego set.
So
you said it was a challenge to put together, though.
Yeah, well, you know what makes it a harder challenge to put together is that every 5 minutes where you're putting it together, somebody says, Daddy, can you help me with this other Lego thing? Which is what was happening, because we do it together, but he was like, can I help you put pieces together? I was like, yeah, I'll tell you where to put them. So I'd point, and he'd be like, all right, he put them there. We're there for about 10 minutes. I put about 8 hours into this. It was about 10 minutes of that 8 hours that he was interested in actually putting it together. And it was about midway through. He finally was like, hey, can I help? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then he was like, no, I'm done. I'm going to keep playing over here. So he got excited because they stagger the people, so they don't all come out in the same pack.
Oh, right.
So
right.
When he'd be like, oh, in this next pack, Dad, I see Rey. And he'd get really excited. Uh-huh. So
see, for me, I don't open the packs in order. I tear them all open, put them all out there. I know that there are some people who are big into the process of opening all the packages and then organizing them carefully in lines by type and size, on and on and on. That is not a person that I am.
No.
I'm a man who opens all of his Lego packages and puts them in a big pile. And then every time he needs a new piece, he sorts through that.
Yep.
And finds that one piece. And I know that that's not efficient, but... That's how I did it as a child, and that's the same joy that I think, get from it today.
See, what I think is awesome about that is you're like, I need a piece. What piece do I... Oh, that's the piece. Like, I like that.
It's like a little treasure hunt every time.
Yeah, if they're all sorted out, then you're not going to get any surprises. You know, you might be looking for one piece and find another and think, this would work even better.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So, yeah.
All right. I have a Foot Locker of Legos.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it big? That big Foot Locker you have at home, is that all Legos?
Well, it's actually stashed. You haven't seen it, but it is that size, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a lot of Legos. My brother and I were big Lego kids growing up, so I have a lot of Legos.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, we don't have tons and tons of them, but Josiah's really been into the little Star Wars sets. Now, granted, this is not a little Star Wars set, but I want to buy more of the creator sets, because those are just like
a
jumble of pieces.
Yeah.
Because that encourages him to build more, whereas these, like, once I put this Millennium Falcon here, I was like, bro, you're not taking this apart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I've already had to fix it like a dozen times. And actually, there's the details on it are pretty sweet. Like, like on the bottom here. Oh, the foot came off. Well, that's bullocks.
It does look a little fragile, which is disappointing.
It is. It is more fragile than you would expect, and it is disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially when a small child is playing with it. Now, I know anybody wants to gripe at me that the ages, I'm sure, are you know, like I was wrong about the ages.
But Daddy can't have Legos that the children aren't allowed to play with. That's not cool.
It's true.
Little Lego fix break.
I don't understand where the foot came from.
I don't know.
Somewhere around here.
Let's just throw it across the room. It'll be fun to put it back together, right?
No, no, it won't. Well, it's just going to be missing a leg for now. I'll do this to set it on here.
That's fine.
Josiah will pick it up and he'll think he did it. And then I'll be like, oh, I can fix it, but it's all right.
I know it's going to bother you, but...
Oh, it's no, I can't see it, so it's all right. If I was staring at it, it would definitely bother me. All right, so let's talk about Gen Con.
Oh, hey, real quick. Yeah. I want to say I played Lords of Waterdeep again. It's been a year and a half or so.
Uh-huh.
Dang, man, that game is so good.
Yeah, I've only ever heard good things about
it. Oh, that
game
is so good. Oh, so that's on my list of stuff to pick up at Gen Con this year.
Awesome.
I mean, I've played it 3 times now, and every time it's felt better.
Nice.
Every time.
That's always good, because that does not always happen, right?
Right.
Sometimes you're like, it's amazing, and they're like, it's not bad, and then you're like, eh, I don't really play this.
Yeah, no, the most recent time was definitely the most fun ever. So
yeah, we'll have to. If you get it, we'll have to play it sometime.
Yeah,
I'd love
so
to
good.
Try it out.
It's so good. It's so good. Anyway, okay,
cool. So let's talk about Gen Con.
Gen Con.
So first things first.
Yeah,
thought we'd talk about our schedules at Gen Con.
Yes, right.
And then from there, and I will. While we're doing that, I will pull up all of our stuff that we need for Gen Con. So we'll talk about our schedules, and then after that, we'll talk about what we're looking forward to game wise.
Yep.
And then we got 2 questions there, both Gen Con related. Thank you,
great.
Ben and Tom. Good job. And so we'll do that.
Cool. Yeah. So starting with the Iron Design Challenge, we didn't have the event details last time we recorded, so we've got them now. Starting with the Iron Design Challenge, the game ID for this is ZED16100158. That is the ID in the Gen Con event calendar. This is happening the room is the Indiana Convention Center Conrail. I guess that's the name of one of the rooms. ICC Conrail. Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. Iron Design Challenge, ZED16100158. Friday, 7 p.m., ICC, the Indiana Convention Center Conrail. That is when we were doing that. Remember, our contestants this year, we have Gentleman Ryan Cowler, and we have Fighter Isaac Shalev. Whoa, we haven't announced our head judge yet.
Right. Do we want to do that?
We might. Yeah, I think.
Should we do that?
I think we should do that.
I think we should do that. So
do that. Boy, this is big, guys.
So
it's big news.
Last year, as everyone remembers, we had Bruno Cathala.
Uh-huh.
And this year, we thought a lot about it, and we think a lot about the judge's personality, right? We want to have a judge that's going to be great to work with and going to be fun, like Bruno was. He set the bar really high. So this year, none other than Mr. Dead of Winter,
mm-hmm.
John Gilmore.
He's a survivor.
He is.
He's a man who not only has he been places, but he's taken other people places.
He has, and from what I've heard, has an intense hatred for both Ryan and Isaac.
Hey.
I made that up. But
all the better.
He might. I mean, he might.
I hope it's true.
He probably doesn't. He's a super nice guy. So,
you know,
he was very excited to be able to do it, and we're very excited to have him.
Yes.
Remember, our other judges are Nate Darty, a second winner, Nate Darty.
Right.
And, and of course, what is that other guy's name? It was Tagmire, right? Oh, no, it was the other guy. Oh,
right.
It was Josh Mills. Yeah.
There you go.
Josh Mills.
Almost forgot him.
Almost forgot him. So
yep, he's forgettable.
Almost forgot him, like the advice he tries to give me. So, anyways, yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a good time. Yeah, so join us for that. Again, if you guys want to register online for that in advance, that'd be cool so we know how many people are coming. But ultimately, just show up. Just show up. We're going to have a blast.
Right. On Twitter, I was saying... to Mills, he was saying he was doing something, so I made fun of him and, you know, said, well, I'll just ask Jason Tagmire. And he was like, I am plotting my revenge. And out of nowhere, Tagmire responds and says, let me know if you need help with that, buddy.
Yeah.
Awesome,
oh,
people.
So good.
So, and then on Saturday at 2 p.m., 2 p.m., we
2
originally
PM.
Said 1 p.m.
It is
Gen
2 p.m.
Con decided on 2, which is fine.
Got rescheduled.
We are Seminar 169-9488. That is 169-9488. And
starting with SEM for seminar.
SEM for seminar. And that is in Crown Plaza, Victoria Station AB, which is a great place to have it. Hopefully there'll be trains going right over our head like every year. We'd love you, Gen Con. Thanks for that. They made sure to tell me there will be no power in that room. Yeah, buddy, guess what? There will be. Every year.
There's always
every year there's power. We're not allowed to use it, so we won't use it for
sure. Actually, I don't think we need it anyway.
We don't even need your power, Gen Con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Anyways, hey, moving on. So do you want to, let's talk about our schedule. So
yeah,
schedule. We're going to get there Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah. Late afternoon, early evening.
We already have our badges, yep. Which is super exciting.
Thank goodness.
It's nice to have badges ahead of time. And then we're just going to hang out, play some games.
Yeah, we'll see who's around.
We're real close this year in the Hyatt, which is nice.
Hyatt has a great lobby for hanging out, especially on Wednesday. It was really quiet last year on Wednesday. It was really good just to hang out there. So that's Wednesday. I've got to meet up with the Van Ryder crew that evening to just kind of game plan and understand the because I'm running a couple of games. Five games of Saloon Tycoon for cool. AJ and Evan. So I'm going to meet up with them at some point, but I'm sure you and Christine will be hanging out with other people playing games, and yeah. I'll come back and join you when I can.
It'll be cool.
Yep.
And then Thursday, I guess we can talk about this because it's public.
Yeah,
so,
might as well.
So AEG wanted to be awesome, and they are awesome for this. This is super awesome. They, David Wilkinson, a builder that we know. Yeah,
thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you. He sent us a message that said, hey, by the way, AEG is doing this thing where they got this big Google Doc, and you just sign up for a time and send them an email and say, this is the time I want. I'm going to pitch you a game. And it's a huge open spreadsheet with lots and lots of things. And they said, sure, with every game designer you want to. So by the time you guys are hearing this, unfortunately, the schedule is probably full. But I know it's been tweeted around, and I've seen a lot of familiar names on there.
Yeah, you bet.
Every once in a while, I go in and look at the names.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
too.
Oh, yeah, hey.
I'm curious.
Like, I see other people I know. Awesome. So it's a great opportunity. So I'm going to be pitching Gunslinging Ramblers to them.
Yeah.
Maybe some other stuff. We'll see what we got. I'm going to do that Thursday morning.
You're going to do it Thursday morning, right? Yours is
11.
11. Okay. Yeah. I'm running Tycoon at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Thursday and Friday Thursday and Friday, and then 10 a.m. on Saturday, but of course it overlaps with our live show on Sunday. So anyway.
What?
Saturday. Did I say Sunday?
Yeah, you
Sunday.
Said 10 a.m. Saturday. Oh, so 10 and 2.
Right.
But you can only do the first one because our live show got bumped. Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Anyway.
I got
so, it. So running those games of Tycoon on Thursday, kind of probably spend most of the day just kind of hanging out, walking around the vendor hall. I know Christine has decided to sign up for a lot of different seminars to kind of learn some stuff there. So she may or may not be tagging along with me if you guys find me out there.
Cool.
And I don't think we have anything else going on until then. At 5 o'clock, I have time booked with AEG to show them a game that I actually haven't even talked about on the show because I just kind of came up with it and prototyped last week since we last recorded.
Right.
I'm calling it Storm Chasers, a game about people chasing storms.
Right. And I think it's got some potential. So.
Yeah, maybe. I'm looking at 3 to 6 players. It's kind of a set collection game played in rounds.
It will do. We're doing another playtest tomorrow.
Yeah, we're all getting together.
That'll also give you a week from this recording to make some more tweaks.
And, yeah, so basically I will have played the game one time, and then I'll be pitching it to publishers. Probably a bad idea, but...
Yeah, but hey, it's good practice.
It's good practice.
And it'll make you in your feet, which is always good.
And if I didn't take the opportunity when it was put in my lap... I'd be an idiot,
right.
I think.
It's a chance to get in front of AEG. You do it.
Yeah,
you do
right.
it no matter what.
Right.
You're bringing another game?
I'm bringing Galactic Scrappers.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll have that with me to try some, I'm looking for as much feedback as I can, looking for some ideas on, like I said before, getting some tension and some more excitement into that. I'll have Treasure Trouble with me.
Mm-hmm. This is a fun one.
Yeah, and I made the prototype of Edinburgh. I'll bring it with me. I've played it two players. Christine and I played it one night and it worked, but it was just weak. So, if I've got time at some point, I'd like to go through a few rounds of that with somebody or with a group of people just to kind of get a perspective on it and say, hey, what do you guys think? Can you help me with any ideas?
Cool. Gen Con is good for that.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to bring Potent Potions version new, which is basically the theme with a completely new game.
Yeah.
It's a semi trick taking game with some set collection. And when I say trick taking game, though, it's trick taking esque.
It's the evolution of that idea that
recently on the show. Where all the players combine into one trick. And then the active player, whose turn it is, gets to use all those to buy potions, up to three.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the tricks sitting out there. And the person who gives the lowest scoring thing gets to take a poison instead of a potion. Mm-hmm. And if there's a tie, the lowest, the whatchamacallit, the player whose turn it is gets to choose mm-hmm. who gets it. Mm-hmm. So you really don't want to tie,
right?
Because then you're gonna get screwed.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. We're gonna play test that tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got Six Gun Shogun, which will be ready to test. I don't know that I'll get any tests in beforehand, but hey, that's all right. I'm sure I can get a player or two in at Gen Con, which is really all I need, just to get some ideas. Likely next week, if I'll have it done, you and I will probably sit down on a lunch and maybe just push it around a little bit and see how it feels. It's 20 tile. Well, it's 40 tiles, 20 buildings and 20 characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little harder for me to build than normal because I gotta cut out a bunch of foam core and stuff.
Sure.
I'm used to just making card games. It's a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of components and stuff in this one. So, yeah. All right. So back to the schedule.
Sure. So that's Thursday. Friday is pretty much wide open for me. You know,
we'll do a lot of walking around the vendor hall, which we'll do on Thursday as well.
Right. So I'm just running two games of Tycoon, and we're doing Iron Design that evening.
Yes. Which, despite anything else that happens, will likely be the best time we have while we're there.
Yes.
Because it's just so much fun.
Yep.
We have some ideas for this. I can't even describe. It's going to be revolutionary this time. Revolutionary. So mm-hmm. I was just thinking about some new stuff tonight that I haven't even told you yet.
Okay.
You're going to be like, that's fantastic, Jason.
Yeah.
Way to go.
And Mr. Tagmeyer's helping us with that.
He is. So yeah. I need to get back to him on a couple things. He had some ideas that were interesting.
Yeah. Changing
unless
the
you're the player, and then not interested.
Right.
And then thanks for nothing, Tagmeyer. So, All right.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, Saturday will be...
Saturday, much of the same for us. Again, I'm running Tycoon at 10 a.m., and then we've got our live show at 2 p.m.
Building the game live.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter to hear updates and all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. That Twitter, while we're there, is the single easiest,
absolutely,
most effective way to get a hold of us. If you don't have Twitter, shoot us an email, but Twitter will get you.
Yeah.
Honestly, Twitter is even, if you have our numbers, Twitter is probably still better than texting us
because
we're more likely to get that than we are a text. So by all means, use the Twitter. Sunday, historically, we usually take off pretty early on Sundays.
Yeah. In the past, we've kind of ducked back into the convention center you know, one last time just to see if there's any final deals we want to scope out. But
but
typically, we're on the road pretty early.
Yeah, which is great because it's nice to get back, see the family, and get to bed at a decent time.
I'm working the next day. I don't know if you took Monday off or not.
I did not. I don't have enough time to anymore.
Okay.
So.
So we're both back to work then on Monday. That's basically the whole schedule. We're keeping it easy, keeping it pretty lean and clean.
We are. Okay, so now we should go over these questions, and then we'll talk about all the games we're interested in. Does that sound cool?
You bet.
All right, so I'm pulling up these questions here. We got two, like I said, one from Ben Pinchback and one from Tom Gerganis. I'm very happy with both these questions, guys. Mm-hmm. These are great questions.
You got it? You want me to?
Sorry, Justin Brooks just tweeted at us, too, that says, Lightspeed has a similar placement mechanic to Shogun Six Gun, which I assume he means Six Gun Shogun. I'm going to pull that up while you pull up those questions.
Okay.
So now I'm curious.
So first one here from Ben Pinchback. Ben says, describe a Gen Con where you meet all your goals. So for me, you know, I've had bigger goals for Gen Cons in the past. And when I don't achieve them, I am disappointed, and I don't ever want to come out of Gen Con disappointed.
Yeah.
So the only goal that I set for myself is to, you know, hang out with friends, have a good time playing some games, hopefully make some new friends in the process. That's what I want to accomplish.
What if you don't play any games and you hate everyone you meet?
Well, then Gen Con was a total bust.
So ideal Gen Con for me is at some point in the con, I'm able to secretly record Matt Riddle spilling all the details about how Ben Pinchback is a genius and how Matt has just riding coattails. No, I'm just kidding. But hey Matt. My perfect Gen Con is much like that. You know, to meet all my goals at Gen Con, being able to see everyone, play a game with everyone, always good, you know. And just, you know, one of the things that I've left Gen Con feeling this way before, and I hate this, is feeling like I missed opportunities that I didn't have to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Not because somebody wasn't available or because I decided not to, right? Because I said, you know what? I'm not going to bother. I don't want to. So my goal is to not do that with anything, right? Whatever. I see a publisher I want to talk to. I'm going to go talk to him, right? I'm going to do it.
When you have an opportunity, you're going to take it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So,
I would say the most glorious, successful Kickstarter Gen Con that I could possibly have. I mean, the ideal Gen Con would be to sell a game to a publisher.
I got three, sir.
Yeah,
four. I'll sell four. That'd be ideal.
Okay. Yeah, to sell a game to a publisher. You know, outside of that, though, I mean. We go to these things because we like to see friends and we like to play games. That's kind of the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Indeed.
It's still a lot more fun than it is business for me.
Yeah.
And I hope that it continues to be that for me because I like that it's fun. Now, if it can be fun and business, that would be even better, but I hope that it never stops being fun. Our other question was from Tom Gerganis, at Tom Gerg on Twitter. He says, what is the coolest thing you have seen at Gen Con? I'm assuming he means ever.
Right.
You go first.
Okay. Mine is a story. I'm going to tell a story.
Ooh.
And it wasn't like something big and amazing I saw, but it was when I have to describe Gen Con to somebody, the feeling you get from Gen Con, not all the games, not all the amazing things you see, but like the feeling that Gen Con gives you, that feeling of camaraderie, this is a story I tell. And it's a pretty simple story. It's the first year we went as a podcast. I was trying to I met Chevy Dodd for the first time, and he was doing a demo of his game with the
pirate.
It used to be called The Balloons, but then it was called something else.
I feel terrible.
Wow, I literally can't
totally
remember.
Brain farting on this.
Yeah. So anyways, great game. So he was doing a thing of that and I didn't have a ticket. And he was like, I got to have a generic ticket, man. I'm sorry. And I was like, I'm going to go get a generic ticket. And I'm really glad that he said that he didn't just sneak me into the game because it gave me this story. So I go to the ticket line, right? 100 people deep because Gen Con. I think it was Saturday. So it was just a bad time. So I'm in this line. I'm standing in this line like, oh, stupid. And there's a dude in front of me and there's a dude behind me. I don't know either of these people. Guy walks past who works at Gen Con, right? He's like, hey, guys, right across the way in the Westin, they totally are selling tickets over there. If you just go over there, I'm sure there's no line. And we're like,
cool,
sweet. So I'm like, well, I'm going for it. The guy in front of me is like, me too. And the guy behind me, you can tell he's the first time. And he's not really sure what's going on at Gen Con, but it seems like these two dudes know what they're doing. I'm going to follow them.
Yeah.
So he just follows us, right? Sure. So we're talking to each other while we can cross the street, having a fine time. We get over there. We all get our tickets, right?
Yeah.
And as we go to leave, I turn around and say, hey, it was nice to meet you guys. And the newbie guy, right?
Yeah.
Looks at us and says, wait, I thought you guys were together. Like, because we'd been talking like friends and, you know, and he just said, I thought you guys were friends. I thought you were together. And I said, hey man, welcome to Gen Con.
Yeah.
And I just walked away. And like, and that to me is quintessential Gen Con, right?
That's great. Yeah.
Like it just, that sense of belonging that you get. Right. Uh-huh, so, and that new guy was so enveloped by that.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope he remembers that. Like, I hope that helped him want more Gen Con.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
cool.
That's my thing.
That's a good one. I think back to my first Gen Con ever, which was 2007, I think, when I went with you. My first, I didn't really know what I was getting into. You had said, hey, I do this game thing that I go to this every year. I need another roommate. Do you want to come along? Or another person to split the hotel room with. Do you want to come along? I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So I remember getting there for the first time and walking into a hotel lobby. It was probably the Westin, but I don't really remember. And there were guys playing Star Wars, like the Star Wars circular Millennium Falcon chess game. You know, it was a full on table that looked just like it was from the movie with little miniatures on it that were the hologram characters. And I was oh man, that's pretty cool. And then next to that was a guy dressed like Batman from the Adam West Batman. Mm-hmm. And about three people away was a Batman dressed like like Michael Keaton Batman. And next to him was a Batgirl from some other version of Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, this is this is a thing.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This is where I am now. And in that kind of that, and it looks like it looked to me like those two Batmen were not together. They just happened to both be dressed like different Batmen in the same lobby at the same time. That was like, yeah, okay.
Convergence of Batman.
This is the only place where the Batman convergence could possibly happen.
Yeah.
That's great. And that was super cool. That was super cool. I think probably most people remember their first Gen Con revelation of some in some way like that.
Yeah, I think so too.
But outside of that, like coolest single rad thing, probably the next new thing for me will be seeing a banner for Saloon Tycoon at a booth on the show floor.
That'd be pretty awesome.
I mean, that'll be badass. I gotta be honest.
That would be pretty. Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Okay there? You having trouble?
There's like a gnat or something that keeps landing on my screen here.
Okay.
Pop screen. So, anyways, all right. Let's talk about games. Let's talk about the games you're interested in. We're gonna go probably decent and quick these because I'm guessing you have a pretty long list.
I got a decent list here.
Yeah, me too. So.
I'll start.
Yeah, go ahead.
First one I've got is The Last Friday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Last Friday. That is, I guess it's a competitive game kind of themed around Friday the 13th. I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan, and it's asymmetrical, so my understanding of what I read is that one player is the killer and the other ones are the campers. It's played in phases, and I don't know. Anything that is kind of a slasher, classic 80s style slasher movie theme is something that piques my interest that I want to see. It looks like it's got really good art. Trading really hard on Friday the 13th. I mean, obviously it's called The Last Friday. So Friday the 13th right there. It takes place at a summer camp. I don't think the killer's wearing a hockey mask, but they've gotten just about as close to that as they possibly can.
Right, without getting in trouble.
But I respect that.
All right, so the first game that I found that looked interesting was Kung Fu Zoo.
Okay.
And that game is a... I'm pulling it up right now, sorry. Okay. I do my list different than you did, so it's a little different. This is a 2-to-4-player game. It plays in 5 to 10 minutes, so it's super fast. It has some sort of weird wooden board thing that you use.
Okay.
And that is... Honestly, that is all I needed to know. So there's some dexterity involved... but yeah, so the board, Rob, you can see here.
Yeah.
See, it's got like slots on the side and stuff. So I'm thinking you're flicking dice around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I am 100% in on that game to check it out. And, yeah, it's supposed to be an easy play. I always think of these type of games as games I can play with my kids, which would be great. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next on my list is it's called Ray Guns and Rocket Ships.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Yeah, it's a space miniatures game. I don't really go hard into miniatures a whole lot, but I was reading the BGG description, and so you're planeteers. The players are planeteers who wage a never-ending battle of ray guns and rocket ships. What really grabbed me is this. It says some planeteers. That's poorly written. I'm just going to read it as it's written. Some planeteers will to conquer like the horrible alien Blarg, or hunger for honor like the reptilian Zard. When your aliens are called Blarg and Zard, that's like, that is, I get when you do that, I get what you're going for there, and I like it.
And they spoke to you.
Yes, they spoke to me.
Nugget Games Dice. So it's this wooden dice thing right here, and you take it apart and you assemble it into big wooden dice. And I don't know what you do with it or what the purpose of it is, but I was sold because it's this isn't really a game, so it's a miscellaneous thing, but it looks cool to me and I want to try it.
For the builders, the picture he just showed me was a picture of a laser cut wooden
dice
that you assemble six sides together. Yeah.
And I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah, that is neat.
I will be checking it out.
Speaking of laser cut, did you see that Game Crafter now can laser cut
any shape?
Anything.
Yes.
Any shape you want in cardboard.
Wow.
That's a game changer. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, Game Crafter just amazes me all the time.
Holy crap. Holy crap. What a thing that they're doing. I don't know how, I haven't looked at pricing, so I imagine it might not be terribly cheap.
But even still. Finalized proto where you need six of those.
Holy cow. What a deal.
Because I'm guessing most people would use them for standees and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but $2 a piece. Who cares? $12 for six of them.
Who
totally
cares?
Worthwhile. So.
For a really nice proto.
Right.
Wow. 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 What a cool thing. Okay. Next, I've got Colony. Colony looks like kind of a city builder, in a sense. Rolling dice, depending on what face you get, gives you different resources. You can assign them to different parts of your city. I'm a sucker for a city builder, and so it looks cool. I'm looking forward to trying that.
Cool. The next one I've got here is Goonies by yeah. Riddle and Pinchback. I'm pretty excited about this game because I'm a huge fan of the Goonies. I'm a big fan of Riddle and Pinchback, obviously. And I'm really excited to check this out. It's a cooperative game that looks fantastic. I think I backed it on Kickstarter, actually. Pretty sure I did. So I want to check it out. Maybe I'll make them teach me how to play it, and then I don't have to learn how to play it. You know me, I'm lazy.
Sure, you
so,
are. Yeah.
But no, I'm very excited about that game. I think it's going to be cool.
Cool.
It looks great.
Next on my list is Moonquake Escape. I know.
Yes.
I saw this over someone's shoulder at Unpub, and it kills me that I wasn't able to play it. For anybody who doesn't know, thematically, the players are aliens that are trapped in a prison on the moon, and you're trying to escape. And as you play, it's a three-dimensional board, and things are like spinning, and it all interlocks and meshes together, and it looks just incredible on the table, and I want to play it. I want to see how that works. I want to see it in action and experience it because it looks stunning.
You know what's going to make you love that game? Because I actually haven't played it, but I had it explained to me.
Yeah,
by the designer, and he's an amazing guy. What's the name of the designer on that one?
Oh, that
is it Joe something.
Oh, let me bring it back up here.
Sorry,
that's okay. Jeff Johnston.
Jeff Johnston. Okay. Yeah. Jeff is amazing, and so when he explains the game, he actually takes the whole board apart. He says, the easiest way to explain this is to build it. And then he tells you the story of what's happening as he's putting each interlocking ring on, and you just want to throw money at him and take the game. So the next one I've got in here is Save the Cupcake.
Save the Cupcake.
It is a two-player game, 5 to 10 minutes of playing. It's bluffing, and it's by Osmati Games. On Save the Cupcake, one of you has a cupcake, while the other one desires to crush the cupcake in the most epic way possible by rolling a ball down a hill to run it over. The defender of cupcakes will hide the cupcake in one of many possible locations at the bottom of the hill. The crusher of cupcakes will roll four balls down the hill through an elaborate network of fruit-themed pathways. The defender and the crusher must cleverly use the pathways to meet the ultimate cupcake goals.
Okay.
And then my one after that, by the way, was Moonquake Escape, so just FYI.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Next I've got is Potion Explosion. Not to step on your toes with potent potions.
I just that way. It's very different.
It is very different.
But it looked very interesting,
right,
too.
I guess there's some kind of so the game is played with marbles.
Uh-huh.
And marbles sit in trays that kind of, as you pick one from the end of the tray or pick one up in the tray, all the marbles roll down and they connect. And I don't know how it plays, but by the description, it says that if you can manage to connect marbles of the same color, then you get to take those as well. And then you spend those marbles as resources to get other stuff in the game. But looking at pictures of this game on BGG, it looks completely unique. It's another one that has a kind of a big 3D components. There's even a big drawer that pulls out that holds all the marbles.
That's
carefully
really cool.
Organized. It just looks neat. I don't
That's
know
cool.
anything about it, but it looks neat.
That is cool. The next one I have on the list is Kaboom by Blue Orange Games. And that is the towers go up, the towers go down. That's the flow of the game, Kaboom. And whether you want the towers to stand or not, it depends on whether you're the master builder in that round or the saboteur aiming to cause destruction. At the start of the game, players lay out the 26 tower tiles with one large tile in the center playing area, and the remaining tiles are randomly placed around it. Each tile depicts a stacked arrangement of blocks as well as a point value. On a turn, the master builder takes the 16 tower blocks, flips the sand timer, and then starts building whichever tower he wishes, with each tower being built on that tile that depicts it. Each player is the Each other plays a saboteur that has 2 to 4, 2 to 10 ammunition dice that they try to shoot down the towers with a catapult. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
there's more, but that pretty much gets it.
Sure.
That's a 30-minute game, ages 6 and up, so hey. Very exciting.
There you go.
Yeah.
Next on my list is Ticket to Ride, Rails, and Sails. You know I'm a big Ticket to Ride fan. So this is Ticket to Ride, but they also add shipping routes across the ocean. And my understanding is that Ticket to Ride, normally you're picking up colored train car cards and you spend those to choose or to claim routes. My understanding in this one is that there are both train cards and ship cards. So you can only use one type for one type, right? You can't build a shipping route across the ocean with train cards. But on top of that, you also, I think, if I'm reading it correctly, at the beginning of the game, you don't just get a set number of trains or a set number of ships. You choose what combination of those that you want.
Okay.
Which is so cool.
Interesting.
I think that's a really cool idea. And I've heard also that they're going to be doing a Great Lakes version of that, so we can build trains through our hometown. So I'm totally down for that.
My next game is Ice Cool. Did you see this one?
I don't think so.
I wish I could find the video to show you. I know we're on a podcast.
We're on a podcast, really help, so that doesn't work.
I can show you, though. So basically, it's the building. There's a big building that mm-hmm. you've got with a bunch of doorways and stuff, like 3D building, right?
Okay.
You've got these little pawns that are penguin-style things, and you spin them and shoot them through to make them swing through, and they can roll. And you tip them on their side, they'll roll around in the rooms to knock other things down. Yeah, I mean, I can't even. It just looks so cool.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you're just pushing stuff through windows and doors and stuff, trying to hit as many things as you can while you're playing. And yeah, I mean, it just looks really cool. And I don't. Okay. I wish I could think of a better way to describe exactly how it works. But it's a big 3D building.
Okay.
With like these doorways and stuff. So. Yeah, so I really want to check it out. I think it could be a great game for the kids. They said it's a really great lunch break game, like, because it's just kind of crazy and stuff. And, yeah.
So cool. Great.
That is my next one that I got.
All right. Next on my list is The Networks. A lot of people have been talking about The Networks.
Heard a lot of that's Gil Hova, right?
Did yeah. A lot of people talking about that. I didn't have a chance to see it at Origins. I mean, I saw the box at Origins, but looking at the box didn't really give me any kind of a sense of how it plays. But it's gotten a lot of really, really positive buzz. So definitely want to check that one out. I guess thematically, you're trying to make a programming schedule for your TV network.
Uh-huh.
And outside of that, I don't know how the game works, but I'll be happy to take a crack at it.
Nice. All right, the next game I've got is Takeout. It's designed by J.R. Honeycutt, and it is by Breaking Games. It's a 5 to 15 minute game, so it's short. And the theme around the game is a 25 card micro game for 3 to 5 players. It takes 10 minutes to play. The players pass food items around to each other. They try to collect sets and meet other objectives, and they try to avoid getting stuck with the bill. Unless they've got the credit card to pay for it. So, yeah. So it just sounds interesting. Also interesting to know that they're doing micro games there. That piqued my interest as well as a side note.
Who is that publisher?
Breaking Games.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. Okay.
Keep that in mind. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so next one I have is Grimslingers. The thing that caught my eye first off with this one is the theme. It's an Old West theme, but it's some kind of sort of fantasy, dark Old West. They call it a sci-fi fantasy Western themed card game. Yeah, there's like witches and spells and monsters, and I don't know what that's all about. Mm-hmm. But what excited me about it is it's kind of, I'm seeing more games this way where it's designed to be played. You know, you can play this game one time and you can have a good time with it. But if you want to continue playing with more people, you can continue a story and continue evolving your characters. Right. So it's kind of a hybrid between a legacy game and a traditional board games. You can just play the same game over and over and over again if you want to. But if you can continue playing with the same group, then you can play it as a legacy game and play additional missions and evolve the story as you go. I like that hybrid. I think that's a cool thing. And this is not the only game I've seen recently that is taking that approach, and I think it's exciting.
That's cool. What was the name?
Grimslingers.
Grimslingers.
I don't really know anything about how it plays, but right. I like that theme. I like that approach.
My next one is Codename Pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure that I won't get at Gen Con, because I'm sure it'll just be sold out. So, but that Codenames is the game where you're trying to be a spy and give people to guess words. This is that game with pictures.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's some other slight variations, and I'm oversimplifying, but that's the gist of it. Mm-hmm. And that sounds incredibly difficult.
Yeah,
but I definitely want to play.
I even am having a little trouble wrapping my brain around how that works.
I assume it'd be a bunch of simple pictures, and it would be the same type of thing as Codenames, where you're instead just, you're saying a word to help invoke images that are on the thing. So,
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, but I'll be happy to play that.
I know, right?
Play that. Yeah. Next one I've got is Thorn Watch. I have some mixed feelings about this. This is a Penny Arcade game.
It's mixed feelings.
I do. I have mixed feelings about Penny Arcade. I mean, those guys, they're funny guys. They make a funny cartoon, but in the past, they have a history of being insensitive to touchy subjects. And
that does not surprise me.
Kind of dismissive of, I think, very valid social concerns. So I don't. I'm not a big fan of them anymore. I don't mean to turn this into a soapbox, so I won't elaborate on it anymore. But for a long time, one of those guys has been working on Thorn Watch. It's kind of his target of an RPG meets a card game.
Oh, okay.
And you know, instead of rolling dice to do stuff in combat, you're shuffling your deck and you're playing cards from your deck. And as you level up your character, you can add cards to your deck that represents your character, and I understand it. It's intended to be played as a campaign, you know, and it's a cool idea. It's an idea. I don't want to say it's 100% original idea, but it is a cool idea, and it sounds like he's got some good ideas about how he went into that. So I'm curious to see what that's like.
Cool.
You know, I don't think I'll play it, but I would like to learn more about it if it's around. Yeah.
Awesome. The next game I've got is Headhunters. That's H period, E period, A period, D period. Hunters.
Okay.
It doesn't come out until next year. Actually, now that I'm looking at this, it says 2017, but I'm guessing they'll be demoing it there.
Sure. Oh, I know what this one is. Yeah.
So this is a collectible components miniatures game, it says. But what drew my attention to it was the dudes, right? So it's like these little miniature guys, but their heads are huge.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why. I'm assuming you put stuff in them.
Yeah, it looks like all the tops of their heads pop off and the components go inside their heads.
Right, and that literally was enough for me to check this game out. I mean, that's, I'm in, right? I doubt I will buy it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get into a collectible game, but I will definitely check it out and demo it because it looks really cool.
Yeah, that reminds me, I don't know, was it 10, maybe 15 years ago, there was a Shadowrun action figure game.
Oh, wow, okay.
And there were a series of action figures that I don't know, they were probably 6 to 8 inch action figures. And I think they may have only done one run of those, but there were 6 or 8 characters in the first run. And it was kind of an alternative to the clicks kind of thing. And every action figure had had a base that he stood on. And the base was probably 5 inches across and had 3 separate click dials in it, so you could track attack and defense and damage and things. And then the base could open up, and inside the base is where you would keep all the action figures' accessories.
Okay.
And so based on you would have a certain number of points at the start of a game, and you would spend those points to buy the accessories to put. You would actually put them on your action figure. And then based on iconography on those things, like, you know, if you put the hat on the Street Reaper or whatever the guy's name was, then he would get a bonus for this thing. And then that would correlate with mini dice. And the mini dice were different colors and different sizes. And it was really easy to see. And then that would just tell you how many dice you roll in an attack. And there was some basic movement stuff. And it was meant to be a dueling game, just a one-on-one miniatures combat game. But the miniatures were, you know, 8 inches tall.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds both amazing and terrible all at the same time.
It was super cool. It was super cool. I bought 2 or 3 of those things, but I only managed to play it, I think, twice, and I liked it a lot, but I never really found a crew that was into it to play with a lot, and I don't think it ended up being very popular because I think it was discontinued after just the one line. I think I still have a couple of those action figures clunking around a drawer somewhere. But yeah, that idea of an action figure, I don't know if it's actually a minis combat game, this Headhunters thing or not, But the idea of where you keep the game components inside the actual toy is a cool thing.
Yeah, that is. All right, I've gotten to two. I've got two left here. So first is Cosmic Kaboom.
Hey, that's on my list
too. By Matt Loomis.
Yeah. I want to play that.
I've played it. It's super duper fun.
I want to play it.
You're flicking these discs trying to get components to make a big bomb to win the game. And I love it. It's a lot of fun. It's dexterity with some strategy. It's a good mix of that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I will definitely be checking that out again.
Next on my list is Exposed. This one kind of excited me, the idea of this. So it's a 2-6 player game. You're a thief who snuck into a boat party with the aim of stealing as many wallets as you can without anyone's exposing who you are. Each move you make gives away information about who you are, so you have to decide how aggressive or sneaky you want to be so that your identity can remain hidden while getting as many wallets as you can. So all the players are walking around on this location, but no one knows who you are. And I don't know how you move your piece without telling everybody who you are, and I want to see how that works, but I think it's a cool idea.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And the last one I have is Flag Dash, which is Capture the Flag.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in Flag Dash, you play as one of several childhood friends who promise to play their favorite pastime again after they grew up. Secretly plan your moves to outmaneuver the opposing team in an exciting game of Capture the Flag. So,
okay.
Yeah, cool. So also secret maneuvering possibly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What was the name of the one you said?
Exposed.
Exposed.
Yeah. So that's it for your list?
That's it for my list.
I've got three more.
Cool.
I've got Scythe. I don't know anything about it, but everyone is talking about it. It's on number one. Last time I looked at it, it was number one on the hotness on BGG.
All right.
Don't know anything about it, but people won't shut up about
it. Might be worth checking out.
Yeah. The Dragon and Flagon is the next one on my list. And let me look at this and refresh my memory. Dragon and Flagon is basically a big bar brawl game. You're in the tavern and everyone is fighting each other.
Oh, okay.
It looks cool. The game board looks like it's laid out like, you know, the rooms of a tavern, and there are actual pieces like chairs and tables and barrels and things that you set up on the thing that you use in the game to attack other players and things.
I want to check that out.
I love that idea of a bar brawl in a game form. That's super cool.
That's cool.
And the last one, I'm a little embarrassed about this, but
Spot It Finding Dory. I saw that on the list.
Oh, well, no. All right. I wasn't even going to bring that one up, but Bill and Ted's Excellent Board Game. I love Bill and Ted. I really, really love Bill and Ted.
I don't check that out.
I don't care what this game is. I want to try it.
Nice.
Because I like Bill and Ted. I'm a geek for Bill and Ted.
Well, hopefully, I'm glad that they didn't call it Bill and Ted's Bogus Board Game.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Well, there you go. That's my list.
So that's us for Gen Con, guys.
Yeah.
So get a hold of us. Come see us. Listen, hey, if you submitted a voicemail or question that's not been answered, we get that in a few episodes. So we're going to do a live one at Gen Con. Then we're going to probably do one on the way home from Gen Con, a recap. And then the one after that, the whole episode will be devoted to us answering questions and new voicemails and stuff.
Okay.
So they're piling up quite good.
Yeah.
Big influx of new voicemails recently from different people.
Oh, excellent.
So very
good.
Exciting.
I'm glad to hear that.
Not that we don't love the people that normally call, but we like diversity in people calling.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. Come see us at Gen Con, guys. We want to see you. We love this stuff. It's super fun. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerlin. I am @poorly_designed. Like us on all the places. Give us a 5-star review on all the podcast location site thingamajiggers. See us at the Iron Design Challenge at 7 p.m. in the Indiana Convention Center at the Conrail Room. See us at Victoria Station Room AB on Saturday at 2 o'clock, and we'll see you guys there. And if you can't make it to Gen Con, I'm sorry. Try again next year.
Try harder next year, please.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's tough for some people, Jason. Give them a break.
Try harder anyways, though, because we want to see you.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's worth your time.
All right.
All right, see you.
Good night. Yeah! Watch out!
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Oh, I meant to get some beer on my way over here.
Yeah.
But I forgot to get some beer on my way over here. Beer on my way here. Beer here. Beer here.
I fear you forgot to get beer on the way here. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
I can't. Yeah, you win. I can't beat that. That's good.